There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your settings. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the fangirl zone.
Welcome to the Mudhorn Clan cast on the Fangirl Zone. I am Sean Fangirl-ass.
And I'm Sith Lord Steve. Beskar Dave is MIA today. We are talking about The Acolyte, titled Night, Episode 5 of Season 1. It was written by Cora Donna, Cameron Squires, and Leslie Headland, and directed by Alex Garcia Lopez.
All right, we're ready for our in-depth recap. In a dense jungle, the Jedi are put to the test when they confront rising darkness. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. All right, Sean, your initial reactions to this episode?
Okay, so let me start out saying that I had explained our theory to my husband, who was watching with me. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's a good theory. And then as we're watching, we're like, oh, okay, good fight. Wait, what the heck? How is this happening? What? And then the reveal, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So I was, by the end of it, I was just mad. But if I took a step back and didn't think about it, I'm like, okay, it was an all right episode, but I was mad. Mostly just mad.
Yeah, the Jedi got it handed to him, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's like, really? You have all of those with you, and they're all being taken out? Come on.
Yeah. The only one that fought worth anything was Jackie. All the others just went down real quick.
Yeah.
Jackie put up a hell of a fight. So I liked it. I wasn't quite as mad as you, but I was disappointed with the reveal. That's for sure. Because it sure made a lot more sense for it to be Coral than
right,
Khmer.
Right. Especially with some of that buildup and some of the things that were said.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, come on. That just seemed lazy, but we'll get into it.
Yep.
All right. Night, aptly titled. Following last week's day opens with Osha and her adorable pip droid walking up to what they can only be described as a living nightmare. Laying in the dust where the master flung her last week, one of the first things Osha sees upon waking is a twisted body of a dead Jedi. And that's only the beginning of the horrors that lie ahead for her. She follows the sound of lightsabers clashing and discovers the majority of the Jedi that arrived on Kofar with them have been killed during the impromptu siesta, and Yord is about to meet the same fate. Thankfully, for now, his life is saved by Osha's quick thinking through drawing the Master's focus in her direction, even though it's only a brief reprieve for the remaining Jedi. Mei also watches in horror from Kalanaka's home as her Master starts after her sister. I'm really shocked she didn't try to go help her immediately.
Right.
Saul is there to save the day, but Mei seems to have plans of her own as she snatches up Kalneka's lightsaber and heads out to, presumably, lend a helping hand. Although, I'm sorry, that delay was a little too much for me.
Yeah.
While Saul orders Yord and Osha back to the vessel that they arrived on, an order that Yord follows despite his own desire to stay and fight, Mei faces off against Saul's plucky Padawan, Jeki, who is keen to see Mei arrested for her crimes. I swear, why don't you talk? Like,
yeah.
Mei's like, I need to help my sister. You can take me then. Something.
Right.
Like, communication does not seem to be key with this group.
No.
The Acolyte is a mystery thriller that will take viewers into a galaxy of shadow, secret, and emerging dark side powers in the final days of the High Republic era. Yeah, it seems so because things seem very strange and I had a lot of questions.
Yeah. After four episodes of theorizing about who the Master might be, episode 5 finally delivers a twist that the majority of the viewers likely saw coming. But before the big reveal in the middle act of the episode, the Acolyte continues to taunt audiences with the obvious answer. As the Soul and Master face off, the Master taunts Soul. You don't remember me. On the surface, it seems as though the Master is trying to disarm Soul to make him question where their paths may have crossed in the past, and it works to an extent. Soul seems more perplexed by the fact that a master would hide his face from his pupil but the master is quick to lob that back at him. After all, isn't Saul hiding something from Osha about what really happened on Brendok? A mask doesn't always have to be a literal thing.
So is it supposed to be that he ran into him somewhere when he was testing Jedi, or is it just supposed to be when he was like the Apothecarius?
Yeah, I think it was just then.
Really? Because that, again, really? You don't remember me? That was like 2 days ago. Come on.
Yeah. After besting Saul, the master tracks down May, where she's been handcuffed by Jeki, and he decides to use Jeki's loyalty as a new lesson for May. For a Padawan, Jeki holds her own against the master.
She did really well.
Yes, they engage in a pretty epic lightsaber battle, coolest of the episode, which includes double-bladed fakeouts and a really impressive show of skill from Jeki. But as May slips away into the forest, the master sets his sights on her, leaving Jeki in the dust. When the master catches up with May, he's quick to point out that she is weak and a disappointment. But his verbal assault is cut short by Saul and Jeki sweeping in to save May. And this is where tragedy finally strikes. As Saul and Jeki launch their attack against the master, it seems as though Jeki has once again gained the upper hand. After she brutally hilt whips the master's mask off his head, the master drives his lightsabers through Jeki, not once, but three times, cutting her down in her prime.
Yeah, and did you notice it was like three at once? Where the hell did that come from?
Yeah.
That was confusing me. And I'm sorry, all the headbutting of the lightsabers. It's like, what? I had to watch it a couple times, those scenes, and I was told, oh no, he's headbutting the hilt. I'm like, that's a real calculated move, because just like a little bit off, there goes your head.
Good. As her body falls to the forest floor, who has now easily claimed the title of the hottest Sith in Star Wars history. Sorry to Darth Vader, Kylo Ren, and Darth Maul. Your winning streak has come to an end. Saul is understandably devastated to see his young Padawan brutally murdered by the quirky man he let go on Aliga. Kamir mocks Jeki's death by referring to her as an it, but he makes a pretty good point by alluding to the fact that it's Saul and the Jedi's fault for bringing a child into a fight like this. As Saul tries to get to the bottom of Kamir's motivations, Kamir holds May at lightsaber point, expressing his sentiment. While his actions may be those of a villain, Kamir tells Saul that his motivations are fueled by a desire to wield his power how he sees it, without the Jedi interfering. It will be interesting to see if this is the theme that is continued throughout the Acolyte, as it is a defining aspect of the High Republic novels and their clash with the Nihil as well. Kamir eventually does tell Saul that the Jedi would likely refer to him as a Sith, which, sorry to break it to you nerds, still doesn't wreck any of the canon established in The Phantom Menace. Do you really think the Jedi are going to let anyone find out about the Sith when they couldn't even tell the High Council about May? Kamir even mocks this notion as he says he has to kill everyone who has seen him because the Jedi say he can't exist. Throughout the episode, we see the Master, Kamir, absolutely destroy the Jedi in combat. He's swift to use the Force to draw the Jedi together so he can deliver a fatal two-for-one blow. And somehow he's able to deflect their lightsabers with his armbands and helmet.
Some of the stuff can. Is it the Beskar?
Well, it's actually something else.
Is it? Because I know it was in Mandalorian. We've seen that, like, the spear could deflect it.
Yeah. We have seen material that is able to withstand the heat of a lightsaber before, but the material does far more than Beskar has ever been shown to do. It is far more likely that this is cortosis, a material that can cause lightsabers to essentially short-circuit. First introduced in Legends, the material has made appearances in more recent canon stories like Dr. Alfra.
Oh, that would explain why the lightsabers kept acting weird.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't figure that out. I'm like, is he hitting it like at just the right angle and it's short-circuiting, or what is that? That was weird. Elsewhere in the forest, Osha hears the voice of May's younger self, As all of this conflict is beginning and she realizes that the Master is going to kill everyone, she and Yord rush back to offer assistance, unaware that further tragedy is about to strike. Yord rushes in, lightsaber armed, and ready to take out their enemy, but Kamira easily deflects the hilt and kills Yord, which it wasn't even with a lightsaber.
No.
He just grabs him and, like, snaps his neck. I was like, what? Like, that was my face the whole time. I'm sure you understand that.
Anybody absolutely. Listening,
like, how? How did that just happen?
Yeah. He doesn't Nobody have knows. Arms like, you know, a wrestler or something.
Right? Like, this is insane. There's some ironic tragedy in the fact that Yord, who has been so noble and uptight through the first five episodes, didn't even get a noble death. He didn't die in an epic lightsaber battle. He had his neck snapped like a twig. And seriously.
Yeah.
That is so disrespectful. Mace seizes this as another opportunity to make a run for it, but Osha puts a stop to her escape by hitting her with a stun blast. Sol and Kamira engage in yet another fight, but this time it's a mix of hand-to-hand, which, quite honestly, is pretty sexy of Star Wars to do. And Osha stops Sol from killing Kamira. Wow, we haven't seen that come back to bite us over and over and over.
Yeah, it will.
As Sol holds his lightsaber to Kamira's throat, Kamira plants seeds of doubt in Osha's mind about her former master, alluding to a darkness in Sol that he hasn't accepted. And I'm sorry, like, why they couldn't just say everybody has a darkness that they've tried to fight. That would have cleared that part up.
Yep.
Osha isn't so quick to spare Kamira, however, as she has something else in mind to take him down. With the help of Pip, she draws those giant flying bugs from the last episode. And they carry Kamira off, kicking, screaming, and fighting. He's taken some down, but sorry if you don't see it on screen.
It didn't happen.
It's honestly an incredibly hilarious and entirely on-brand Star Wars moment. And the reminder of this franchise can be delightfully goofy when it wants to be, even after it's killed off two fan favorites. Yeah, I think everybody's going to be like, what? Like, we're all going to have to try to recover.
Yes.
As Osha questions Sol about what Kamira meant by the darkness within him, Mei wakes up and pulls a blaster on Sol, stunning him and leaving the sisters to hash out their differences alone. And for some reason, they have to walk off onto a cliff, obviously.
Yeah.
Mei's convinced that her sister's been brainwashed, but she's ever hopeful that she can deprogram her and make her see the truth. And this is where I started to question some stuff.
Right.
Because she's telling her, oh, you started the fire, you did this, and if it wasn't for Sol, I'd be dead. But Mei's like, no, they brainwashed you. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Is Mei so far gone that she doesn't know what actually happened? Or she just hates the Jedi so much? Or could something have actually happened?
Yeah, I think it's just pure hatred for the Jedi that took her sister from her.
Because then they embrace and Mei's begging her sister to choose her. But Osha, as Sol said in episode 4, isn't ready to let go of the trauma of what happened to them as children. And yeah, you tried to kill me. Don't know if I'm going to be cool with it.
Right.
Osha still sees her sister as the little girl who allegedly murdered their family and tried to kill her. As the hug comes to an end, Osha attempts to take her sister into custody, hell-bent on following through the Jedi's plan to arrest her, but Mei isn't about to let that happen. Mei uses the Force to knock her sister out and steal her identity. Excuse me? How long did it take for you to undress her and change into those clothes, and you're telling me she's just still knocked the hell out?
Right. And you got her dressed in your clothes.
Oh, she wasn't fully dressed, though, at the end. I guess it's better than leaving her naked, but still.
Right.
In a twist that everyone should have seen coming from the series that features a pair of identical twins, Mei uses Yord's lightsaber to chop off her braids so they're the same length as Osha's, and steals her sister's clothes before trotting off to find Sol, pretending to be his erstwhile Padawan. Sol seems to sense that something's off, but after everything they've endured, he's more interested in getting off Kofar. Excuse me, how do you not know what's in her head? That was like your power.
Yes. All you got to do is just read her mind and you'd know immediately it was Mei and not Osha.
Yeah, that was, I'm sorry, complete BS. I don't know. This felt really lazy with some of this stuff.
Right. The whole ending is definitely lazy.
However, it does seem like Basil, with his adorable little nose for tracking, might realize that Mei's there. The one traveling with them and not Osha because, surprise, surprise, Kamira survived.
Yeah.
And he threw Pip's head and that's what Basil picks up. Off he goes. But he does find Osha, who Mei did mostly dress. It's unclear if he knows that the unconscious girl isn't his treacherous acolyte. but it certainly sets up some exciting conflict as Mei and Osha have now switched places and masters. Perhaps Osha will prove to be the acolyte of Kamira's dreams, since she has so much hate and darkness in her own heart. Now, I was thinking, because you seen her tattoo, that he would know right away that's right. Not Mei.
Yeah.
But he seemed to be healing her, too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, was this the point the whole time to get Osha, not Mei?
Right.
So I was confused. Could very well
be. Yep.
And I was just not happy with the way it played out.
Yep. Well, it's that time of the episode where we give it our ratings out of 5. John?
If I take the fight scenes out, then it's a 2 out of 5 for me. Because right. I was just so disappointed with, like, oh, it's Kamira. Oh, we're going to switch. Nobody's going to know. No.
Yeah.
That was just, I wasn't feeling it. I mean, the fight scenes are always choreographed great.
And Jackie was absolutely wonderful.
Oh, yeah. And one of the things that I've said for a long time watching Star Wars is that it seems like the Jedi aren't able to fight together. They're taught right. to fight separately. So when you have one guy kicking all their asses, it's like, come on. So that's another reason. Even though the choreography for the fight was amazing, I still only give it a 2.
Well, I'm going to give it a little higher. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. It takes more than bugs to kill Sith Kamira.
Well, I mean, we don't even know what those bugs technically do. Would they eat him?
Right.
Would they cocoon him?
Who knows? Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. Our deadline for feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern every Friday during the season. You can send your feedback via email or audio to contact us at fangirlzone.com. Please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you use for your podcast. With good ratings and reviews, it helps other fans of the show find us, as there are plenty of other Acolyte podcasts out there. Tell your friends, and we hope you are enjoying our podcast. And don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcasts.
You can find everything over at www.fangirlzone.com because it looks all pretty and it's great now. And you can contact us directly through there, or if you want to just shoot us an email, we are mudhornclancast@fangirlzone.com. Sean, S-H-A-W-N, @fangirlzone.com. Steve@fangirlzone.com. I don't think Dave has a Fangirlzone email, but you can just send it to us any of the ways. Contact us at fangirlzone.com and we will get it. Don't worry. So for this episode of the Mudhorn Clan Cast,
I'm Sith Lord Steve, and there's no method to his movement. It doesn't make sense.
I'm Sean Fangirl S, and until next time.